Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, a podcast where we revisit pop culture from our youth to see if it's still as good all grown up. I'm Kara Gale Regan. With me is my co-host, Jordan Poland Clark.
Hi.
And today we'll be talking about the movie Election from 1999. But first, some things at the top of the show. You might have heard me talk about on the last some things at the top of the show you might have heard me talk about from our last episode. Be sure to get your flu shots if you can. It's an early and very bad flu season so far, so be sure to get that done. And on November 6th, got the date right this time, we are having a critical election here in the United States, midterms. So please make sure that you get out there and vote. In many places you can vote early, in other places you might be able to vote absentee ballot, or go on November 6th to your local polling place and cast your vote then. It's super important. That's why we're doing a themed month for November of political movies?
Election movies?
They're not all going to be about elections, but they have politics. So this one's about an election.
Clearly.
We'll get to that. Yeah. But we also watched another movie that we talked about in the last episode very briefly. Brian Rodriguez of the High School Slumber Party podcast was quite skeptical about it, having received the recommendation from Mike Manzi, another past guest, host of Third Time's a Charm and other podcasts on the Cage Club Podcast Network. Jason X from 2001. Jordan, what did you think?
Okay, so I, like, watched is a very loose term that I'm using for how I experienced this movie. I put it on while I was cooking, I think. And then watched it until my computer died, and then opened my computer again the next day and was like, oh, I guess I'll finish this. There was like 20 minutes left. So I can't say I got a lot of the details. Also, I don't think that matters at all for this movie.
No, I don't think it does.
It was like, you know those things that are like, I made my computer watch 1,000 episodes of Friends, and then it wrote a Friends script.
Like, you feel like Jason X is the horror movie version of that?
Yeah, it was like, I made my computer watch all the Jason movies, and this is the movie that came out of it. And also, I made it watch a movie about space by accident, yeah. And it got mixed in.
That's kind of true, but I think it also, I really loved it.
No, I liked it too.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, it's smarter than what a computer would have come up with.
Yes.
You know, it's, like, a little bit more subversive than that.
I think it's a little bit more self-aware than that, too. Although, not all the time.
Yeah. But I recommend it. So, but not to someone who, like, hasn't seen a lot of horror movies. Because if you haven't, and then you watch this, you're going to be like, why is any of this happening?
Oh, yeah, no. Don't start with this. There was a couple of deaths that made me, like, yell out loud. Like, I thought they were really creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one...
Although, the death that I wanted to see the most happened off-screen, and I was so mad about it.
Okay, also, I couldn't tell any of the people apart. And, like, so many people... So, really brief plot. Jason... He ends up cryogenically frozen and in space. And so all these people in the future, like 1,000 years in the future, unfreeze him, and he instantly starts killing everybody. And he killed so many people right away that I was like, surely he's killed everybody. But then, like, new people just kept showing up, or that's what it felt like to me. But which death was off screen that you really wanted to see?
Oh, like the professor guy, like the teacher who was set up to be like a real, real creep. And I was watching it with my friend Caitlin. We were both like, man, I can't wait to watch this guy die. It's going to be so satisfying. And then they must have had to cut it out of the movie because you hear him screaming off screen and that's it. And then I think they find his corpse later.
Yeah. I liked the one where he froze her face and then smashed her
Oh my God,
face.
that was
I
so
yelled so
good.
loud.
Yeah, he like took her head and submerged it in liquid nitrogen and then smashed her face on a counter. That was
That was great.
awesome. Loved
Yeah.
it. Yeah. Also, they have a Janet like from The Good Place.
Yeah, and her
That
head falls
she's a
off at the
badass.
end.
Yeah.
And
Also, she doesn't have nipples.
I didn't catch that. Although she was like having sex with
Oh, that
that
was
guy.
a weird scene.
Everybody was having sex with everybody else very awkwardly.
Yeah, but she very clearly was created to be a sex robot.
I thought it was.
But she's also like their like ship computer.
There was like
It's
a
weird.
part at the end when her head fell off, and that made me laugh a lot. But then also, like, the guy that she was having sex with also was like holding her head at the end. But you could tell that, like, it was just this actress and they shot it so that, like, he could hold her head and kind of look like it was detached from her body. But, like, I'm sure she was just laying there. It was
Yeah.
awkward and it made me laugh out loud.
Yeah. So super fun. Highly
Yeah,
recommend.
I'm glad I watched it.
I am too. And it like I was expecting it to be really bad because it's like a
It was
universally
really
panned
bad, but
movie.
it was fun.
It was, but it was like bad in a really good way. And I actually didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was great.
Oh, I thought it was ter it's like I thought it was terrible. It was like one of those things that I was like, "Oh my God, like actors had to do this. Like somebody wrote this. Like millions of dollars went into this." It was like one of those things that I like couldn't believe, but also I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I have some breaking news.
Okay. Oh
Just
yeah, I forgot you had breaking news.
sent to us by Cage Club co-founder Joy Lewandowski, a Clueless remake is in the works.
But any more details than that?
It's being written by one of the writers from Glow, which makes me have high hopes because
Okay.
I think that show is great. It's being
Yeah.
produced by somebody who wrote Girls Trip, which doesn't mean anything to me. Does that mean anything to you?
I have not seen it
No,
yet,
me
no.
neither.
But people loved it.
I wonder. I think that it could be okay, but also like, it's so 90s. Like, I want to keep it there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I definitely understand that Clueless is my favorite movie of all time. But I wouldn't mind seeing another version of it.
I don't
I
know,
just love it
just
so much.
why? Like, why do we need another version of it? The first version's great and we love
Well,
it and like
because we need another version of
no,
everything,
we
apparently.
don't though. They're just
I
like
agree.
ugh.
I know, they're just like, what are the kids
We're not
like?
but we're not even
What
kids.
do
That's the thing is like we're in our 30s. Like we're not kids and they're still doing this to us. Or like they're doing this to us more and more because they think this is what we want. And I guess people do
Yeah.
because they keep doing it, but
The bubble will
I hope
burst
so.
eventually.
I think
It
it's
will.
dumb and uncreative.
Yeah. Well, I am excited to watch Clueless again, which I will be doing soon because I am going to be on the newest season of the Cinemakers podcast, also from the Cage Club Podcast Network. You can go find past episodes at cageclub.me, where Joey and Mike each season have on a different co-host to go through the filmography of different directors. They've had on Tobin Addington of the Contenders podcast to talk about the work of Steven Soderbergh. They had on Chris Mattiello of Now and Again to talk about a guy that made the Batman movies, whose name I never remember.
Christopher Nolan.
That guy, yes. They had on Nick Jenkins of the Real Bad podcast to talk about Fede Alvarez, and then another short series to talk about, or maybe they just did one episode to talk about Turbo Kid and Summer of 84. I think that's the number. I'll be on the newest season, and we're going to be talking about the work of Amy Heckerling, who, of course, wrote and directed Clueless. So, my run on Cinemakers will start Monday, November 19th, I believe, with Fast Times at Ridgemont High, her first movie, and then we'll be talking about her movies every week for the next several weeks. But back to the movie for this episode. Directed by Alexander Payne, Election stars Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick, and was written by Jim Taylor and Alexander Payne, based on a novel of the same name by Tom Perata. This film tells the story of a high school teacher's personal life that becomes complicated as he works with students during the school elections, particularly with an obsessed overachiever determined to become student body president. That is Tracy Flick, played so expertly by Reese Witherspoon.
So expertly.
Yeah. What did you think of Election?
I love this movie.
You've seen it before?
Yeah, like a long time ago. And I remember thinking it was great and like really weird and different, and all of that is still true, and it totally holds up.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it maybe once years and years ago, and I laughed a lot while I was watching this. There was a lot that, like, was also kind of upsetting, but I think it's supposed to be that way.
Tell me more.
That's a good... I don't know. I'm, like, looking at my notes right now, and I don't think I took any notes about that. So, yeah.
I mean, they're all horrible people.
Yeah. Although, I don't think Tracy Flick is actually that bad.
I felt super bad for her at the end.
Why?
I just think, this is skipping way, way to the end, but, like, you see her after she loses, and she is so upset. She's, like, she's devastated. She's crying, and her mom comes in and gives her drugs and is like, here, take a pill, it'll make you feel better. And then
says something really shitty to her, but I don't remember
what it
was.
Exactly. And then she says, well, maybe just, and so, like, she's devastated, and her mom is like, well, her mom comforts her and then says, well, maybe if you just had more posters, or, like, maybe if you did this. And she totally makes it, like, her fault that she lost.
Yeah.
And then you totally, like, in that moment, you're like, I understand Tracy Flick. And then you feel bad for her. You don't, you know, it's like you get why she is the way she is.
Mm-hmm.
I was really upset by that part.
Oh. But that's not the end, There's actually, a bunch of stuff that happens after that.
There's like, yeah.
So, I don't know what direction to drive in. Need you to co-pilot.
I think one of the most interesting things about this movie is that it's every character narrates their own part.
Yeah.
Like, so the movie focuses on four characters. Mostly, there's other people around, but so it focuses on the teacher, Matthew Broderick. It focuses on Tracy Flick, played by Reese Witherspoon. It focuses on a football player who's injured and therefore is talked into running for president.
Played by Chris Klein in his film debut. He was discovered.
He was just like a high school student that they picked out of a high school to play this part.
Like when they were like scouting locations.
Yeah, and then the fourth one is his sister, who also decides to run for president.
Jessica Campbell.
Because she is mad at him because her ex-girlfriend is dating him because her ex-girlfriend is a dick. And so it follows those four characters, and every time they're telling their own story. So you're automatically set up with unreliable narrators, which is super fun because they see it how they see it. And if you can separate yourself from what they're saying and what you're seeing as the viewer, it doesn't always match.
Right.
Which I really like.
Yeah. Like, but also they get to tell their own stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is not something that we grant a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. In general.
But, they all think they're, like, good people who are doing a good job, and then we're seeing them be, like, kind of shitty.
Yeah. Well, so, the story is actually based on the three candidate 1992 United States presidential race, which was
Yep.
George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot. And I like messaged you as soon as I started watching Election, and I was like, ooh, I'm getting like chilling echoes of the 2016 election. But I guess this is just what elections are like.
Maybe. I mean, why? I mean, so it was 'cause you have Tracy Flick, who was who which one's Tracy Flick?
Oh my God,
Is
Hillary Clinton, are you serious?
No, I'm talking about 1992.
Oh, in 92.
Who was supposed to win that?
I think H.W. Bush.
Bush?
Yeah.
And then you have like the newcomer who's Clinton, and then you have the one who comes in and messes it all up, which is and gets really popular, which is Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Which was his sister Tammy. Because she comes in, and actually, I feel like, do you think Tammy would have won if they
Oh,
didn't kick her
Tammy
out?
absolutely would have won. I
Tammy would have won.
have a trivia point about this. Somewhere here. Okay, so the number of disregarded votes, which basically was people voting for Tammy, those votes outnumbered the ones for Tracy Flick and for Paul. So Tammy would have won the election if she had not been expelled. Paul would have won the election if he had voted for himself, but because he felt bad about picking himself, he picked
Yeah.
Tracy, and that
I
caused
feel
her
like
to win by
he's
a single vote.
I feel like he's the only person who's like maybe a good
Well,
person.
yeah, I mean,
He
he's like really nice in this entire movie, and he's the only person
really
who
is. Like
is.
there's a great scene like the night before the election when they're all like praying, and like everyone's just like, oh, I hope I get this. I hope I get this. I hope I get this. And he's like, I hope my sister Tammy is okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's his character is weird and interesting, and like I don't
Yeah.
understand why he's so good, you know? Like I don't know. Because it's not like he's this like huge foil to Tracy Flick, really. It's not like
No.
she's really that bad. She's just like very type A, very overachiever, and is like knows what she wants and is going after it.
It's just like easy to hate her though.
Yeah.
Which like I guess we should talk about because like why is it easy to hate a
Right.
woman who's like that? Well, but no, it's easy to hate her because she doesn't care about anything except for winning. That's what's annoying about her. Like it's not because she's a woman.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have any friends. She's not nice to anybody except for to get something that she wants. Like that's why it's easy to hate her. I don't think it has anything to do with her being a woman.
But do you really think that a character like Matthew Broderick's character would be as like annoyed by her self-assured, like I'm gonna win attitude with a boy?
No.
'Cause he has that
No.
monologue at the very beginning of the movie where he talks about how she thought this was predestined and like all of this stuff. And that's what I mean when I say that like there are these like chilling echoes of Hillary Clinton,
But
but
like I can't even think of like what that male character looks like.
Who was president over your high school? Probably that guy. Yeah, no, I don't either. I
I
don't even know if we
don't know.
had a student
But
council.
like a male who's like really, really driven to the point where he doesn't have any friends and is like really disconnected, but like really connected at the same time. Like, I don't even think I've seen that person.
Well, because I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Tracy is often alienated by her peers because she is so ambitious. Whereas if a male is that ambitious, it's like seen as a good character trait.
But not if he acted like Tracy does, because I think the ways that she's acting would never feel good.
Can you
I
give an example of that?
Yes, and hold on. I don't know, like, don't you just like the person in class who always raises their hand, who like always has to know the right answer and like is always stepping on other people to to get it, you know, to get to be first, to like get what they want. Like,
I don't know. I feel like we see males exhibit that behavior all of the time and like don't really bat an eyelash at it. And like
right?
that might be why you're having such a hard time coming up with an example.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I think it just presents really differently when it's a man doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I think, well, I feel like part of it too, maybe, is that like Tracy's a nerd. Like, I think there probably are some like nerd characters that display a lot of the same behaviors that she does that maybe are also not very likable. I don't know.
I just it was actually like it was really striking to me, like kind of how like the Mr. what's his name? McAllister, Mr. McAllister's characterization of her and like his demonization of her to me felt very gendered and like
Well,
pointedly
I read
gendered.
so in Roger Ebert's review, which like I didn't pick up on this, but like so Tracy Flick had an affair
Yeah.
with Mr. McAllister's. Does he have a first name?
Mr. McAllister, I don't know.
He must have a first name. I can't think of what it is. They just call him Mr. M.
Jim, his name is Jim.
Okay, so Tracy had had an affair with Jim's best friend, and it got him fired.
He got himself fired.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. He got himself fired. Because you should not have an affair with your underage students.
And if you are, like, definitely don't send them weird mail about running away
Yeah.
together.
Right, so the review that Roger Ebert wrote basically said that, like, implied that part of the reason why Mr. McAllister acted the way he did is because he was also attracted to Tracy.
Yeah, well, I think that's clear. Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I
That
don't know.
he
I
is
mean, I.
attracted to her, but he does not want to be because there's that
No.
scene where he's like having sex with his wife and then her like imagines her face and like her weird mannerisms on the back of his wife's head.
Yes, that's true. And I mean, he also imagines the woman that he wishes he was having sex with, who
Yeah.
is his wife's best friend.
Yeah. But also, I think something that I picked up on this time around seeing it at the very beginning of the movie, like Tracy's monologue is talking about how she actually f feels kind of bad for Mr. McAllister because he, I don't remember why, but then at the end of the movie, with
She's it's because like to her his life is so boring, like it's so
right. And
nothing,
it's like
you know.
boring and sad. And then at the end of the movie, his voiceover, he's talking about how he feels bad for her, even though she seems to be living a much better life than he is. I don't know. Or like a more fulfilled, I don't know. Maybe they're both more
Don't you
fulfilled.
think but Don't you feel like maybe like they both just feel bad for themselves and are kind of like projecting that
Projecting.
onto
Yeah.
each other?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
'Cause like Tracy's life, so the ending on this movie isn't the original ending. Did you read about the original ending?
I did.
Do you want to tell us about it?
If I can find the note. Okay. Yeah, the ending was actually reshot because of poor
It
test
didn't test
screenings.
well, the first one,
Yeah,
yeah.
and the original ending was closer to the novel, featuring Mr. McAllister working at a car dealership and Tracy going to visit him before she leaves for college. Because the ending that is in the movie is it takes place in New York City and Washington, D.C., and it feels like a. It felt to me like a totally different movie.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like it was like tacked on, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But like in the original ending, it also had a part where like Mr. McAllister saw where Tracy lived, and it was like really shitty. Like she didn't live in the nice part of town. And so like I feel like in the same way that her mother kind of shed light on why she is the way she is, like that also would have shed some light on why she is the way she is, and why she would work so hard to pity other people and not herself,
Yeah.
kind of.
Interesting.
But that's not actually in the movie.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I think it's funny and also very real to, like, see this high schooler who thinks she's so smart and knows everything and, like, to judge an adult the way that she judges him, like, how, like, his life is sad. Like, this movie does show that. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, his life is not really that sad. Like,
no, he seems to have, like, a pretty, like, together existence.
I mean, I would actually assume that that's not true because of how quickly everything falls apart for him. But, like, you know, how it's so narrow-minded and, like, so black and white for a teenager to judge an adult who just has, like, a regular life, you know, because they're not doing something, like, spectacular and amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're just a teacher.
Which, I mean, I do feel bad for teachers, but not because their life is sad.
But I would never, yeah, I feel bad for them because their jobs are hard and they don't get paid enough for what they do.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's, like, the most important thing.
Yeah.
But, like, that's why I feel not bad for them. I just think they deserve better.
Yes, that's a good way to put
it. But I would never, like, pity the teachers that I know. They're all great. I love the teachers that I know.
Yeah.
And they love their jobs and they're really good at it and they work really hard at it, so.
Thora Birch, who we recently saw in Hocus Pocus, actually was originally cast as Tammy, but had to leave, but left filming in Omaha on her third day because of creative differences with Alexander Payne. I don't know what that means, but I'm curious.
Me neither. I like the woman who was cast as Tammy, though.
Yeah, she was, like, great, but she hasn't acted very much since then.
Like, but her she's last, a little bit, like, plainer looking than,
yeah.
Like, not in a bad way. Like, I don't.
No, in, like, a way. She just looks like
Thora
a real
Birch,
teenager.
Like, really has a look, you know? Yeah. And I think that suits the character a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Melissa Joan Hart was considered for Tracy Flick. And I think she would have been great at that. I'm glad that it was Reese Witherspoon, but I think Melissa Joan Hart could have done a good job, too. Barack Obama has said that this is his favorite political film.
There's a lot of, they talk about morals versus ethics a lot in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it never gets to what the difference is. Like, no one can say what the difference is between morals and ethics.
And no one in this movie is doing anything moral or ethical.
But they all think that they are, constantly. And they all, like, think that they're struggling with, like, doing the right thing.
Apples are featured prominently in the movie.
I wrote down the word fruit. There's a lot of fruit in this movie.
Well, the trivia bit that I came across was specific to apples. I don't know if I noticed any other fruit. But we see apples usually before trouble arrives for a character. So they're used as an analogy to entice Paul to enter the election. An apple tree is shown right before Mr. McAllister gets stung by a bee. Apples hang above the doorway to Mr. McAllister's living room right before he discovers his wife knows that he cheated on her. And also, Mr. McAllister wins the Apple Teacher of the Year award at the very beginning of the movie. So that's interesting. Those apple trees. Not convincing. They had to tie apples to the branches.
That's silly.
Yeah. And I didn't know that when I was watching it, and I was just like, those apple trees look weird. Like, they were tied to the branches of trees that wouldn't normally have apples.
I feel like if this movie came out today, it would be, like, a big hit. But, like, it wasn't when it came out.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure that this movie would get made today.
You don't think?
I don't know. It just seems... Maybe it might. I don't know. Does MTV Films still exist? Because that's the production company that financed
it. I thought that was really interesting that MTV Films made it, because, like, I wouldn't think that they would make something so good. But then I looked back, and they actually made a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, they made Jawbreaker.
That's not like a good movie, though, is it? We should watch Jawbreaker.
Yeah, we should watch that. I remember really loving it when it came out, but who knows?
That sounds like an MTV movie. Mm-hmm. But this is like a good, like if you have taste, you might like this movie still.
Thanks, Jordan.
No, we go high brow and we go low brow. That's what's fun about us. But I'm saying, like, I read an interview with the guy who was in charge of MTV Productions or MTV Films when this was made, and he said there were three movies that they tried to get made that year. This one, Being John Malkovich.
Interesting. Did they wind up making
something
that?
Else that turned out to be like a really good movie, but this was the one that MTV got to make.
Oh, okay. And then John Malkovich was done by another company.
Yeah, and then the other two got picked up by other studios. No, but here, let's look up the list, because they did make a lot of movies, and I was like, wow, really?
Yeah, they made Beavis and Butthead Do America, which is very good. It's very good.
They made Varsity Blues, yeah. Which I also liked.
200 Cigarettes. Save the Last Dance. What?
I like that movie.
I love that movie. We have to do that. Orange County Crossroads. The Britney Spears vehicle. Shonda Rhimes' first writing gig, I think.
Gosh, it's really bad. Have you seen it recently?
Not recently, no.
I've seen it in the last, like, 5 years. It's very bad. Joe's Apartment.
Dead Man on Campus. Oh,
The like Wood. Have you ever seen The Wood?
I don't think so.
I like that
Pootie
movie.
Oh, Pootie Tang? No, I have not seen it. Jackass the movie, which makes sense, because Jackass was the TV show first. They made Napoleon Dynamite, which we were just talking about before we started recording. Mm-hmm. Oh, they made the terrible Aeon Flux movie, which also makes sense because, wow, they have done a lot.
They kind of faded away in recent years.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, I was shocked that's who made this very good movie.
Well, when MTV Pictures sent Alexander Payne the novel in 1997 to gauge his interest, he told them he didn't want to produce a teen comedy. After talking with them, they convinced them that the story, in essence, was a dark adult comedy disguised as a teen comedy. Buying that argument, he agreed to do the movie.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what's fun about it, is like, because of what the story is, it has to take place in this high school, but it's not like a teen high school movie.
Yeah. In the gym scenes, since the extras were real high school students, Payne faced the problem of not having enough of them because it was SAT season, and many of them having already found out the sometimes tedious process of working as an extra. As a solution for the shots requiring a full gym to be seen, Payne asked the extras to move two or three times from their seats to look as if there were more people with the help of editing. And so the wide shot showing both sides of the gym was done in less than 20 minutes when the teachers of that high school asked more students to join the shooting. So that's funny. There's a newspaper at some point in the movie. I'm not sure where, but
is that that it's near the end?
Okay.
Is it? It's like when, so Jim McAllister gets fired for throwing away two of the votes so that, what's his name? Chris Klein. What's his character's name?
Paul.
So that Paul can win the election. So he gets fired for that, and then it, like, goes in, like, the local newspaper, and then gets, like, picked up by the wire. So, like his getting fired for that becomes, like, one of those little, like, quirky stories.
Right.
So that's where the newspapers
okay.
are.
Okay. Well, one of the other articles on that page reads, if you've paused the film in order to read this entire article, your time would be better spent renting Citizen Ruth, which is the movie starring Laura Dern that Alexander Payne made before this.
It was his first movie, yeah?
I think so.
I would like to see it. After reading about this movie a lot and, like, hearing that mentioned a lot.
Yeah, I would also like to see it.
I'd like to see it.
Your time would be better spent renting Citizen Ruth from your local video store. LOL. Do you know how hard it is to write these fake news stories for newspaper movie props. I've got better things to do. That made me laugh.
That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, I love Tracy's campaign slogan, sign up for tomorrow, today. It's so illustrative of...
When did she use that slogan?
I think sometime during, like one of her first posters. It might have, like, just been in the background that I...
Because mostly they just said pick flick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I saw a poster at some point, and it said sign up for tomorrow, today. Oh, maybe that was when she was trying to get the signatures.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. But it's just so illustrative of, like, the kind of person that she is. She's such a go-getter. She is not signing up for tomorrow. She's signing up for it today.
I mean, the scene where she tears down all the posters.
Yeah.
Like, God, she's just insane.
I love it. I, like, thinking so much about, like, women's rage recently, and like the rare times that we get to see a woman be mad in public.
Yeah,
it was like just very satisfying to see her fucking lose her shit, you know.
Yeah. Something else that I read was like, hey, it's fun if you think about Mr. M as if he's a grown-up Ferris Bueller.
Oh, that is really funny. Yeah. Interesting. She makes a bunch of cupcakes and hands them out, and they say pick flick, but if you look closely at the table where they all are, some of them, the bottom of the L is elongated and connects to the I, so it says pick fuck. She also says that she and her mom got up really early that morning and made more than 400 cupcakes, which really is a night before activity, and that bothered
me. I tried
to
think about how many ovens they would have to make.
It's impossible.
400 cupcakes.
You gotta wait for them to you gotta bake them in batches. You gotta wait for them to cool so you can put the icing on it.
Even to have that many bowls and like mixing things and like that's too many.
It's a night before activity, certainly. Yeah.
You can't put icing on them when they're warm.
Nope. It's gonna slop right off. Maybe they baked them the night before and decorated them in the morning.
Maybe they didn't sleep, so it felt like the morning of.
That's also possible. The score of this movie is bonkers. Or at least just, like, the points where Tracy's kind of freaking out. That, like,
yeah.
Weird sound clip that they use.
Well, and Alexander Payne said that he had to kind of fight for that because it was an MTV movie.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to use all this, like, cool music, and
yeah.
He was like, no.
Interesting.
But he had to fight for that a little, and it was worth it because this movie would have been a little bit dumber if it just had, like, 90s pop songs or something.
I think you actually read more than I did this time. Congratulations.
I only read two things.
That was more than I did.
But one of them was, like, a very long interview with, like, all the producers and all the cast and Alexander Payne and
Tom
Parada.
Yeah, what else did you learn?
I don't know. That's about it. Mostly just the stuff you said. Tom Parada is on board with the changed ending. He was cool with it. He was like, I feel like they did what they needed to do for the movie, and, like, that's cool.
Nice. Yeah, I like his work a lot. He wrote book called Little Children that got made into a Kate Winslet movie, which was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I read that book because I bought it because I liked the cover. So
what's on the cover?
Well, the copy that I got was probably the year it was published. I don't know if it has a different cover now, but it was like a matte finish of grass and then a, like, glossy embossed clear bag with a goldfish in it.
I think that's what it looked like when I read it too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good book. And then of course he also wrote The Leftovers, the book that the TV show is based on. I love that show.
I only watched the first half of the first season, but I know people really like it. My sister really likes it.
I don't have anything else about this movie.
Well, I feel like it's harder to have things to say when we watch a good movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a movie that holds up.
Yeah. I noticed that the pretty much like the only person that gets a happy ending, although I maybe Paul gets a happy ending too. I didn't really pay attention. But his sister has like a gay love story that ends in a happy ending, and I really appreciated that because so often gay characters have these like horribly tragic stories, you know. Like even if like the bulk of the story is nice at the end, it's like something horribly tragic happens. So I appreciated that. Liked it.
It was 1999, so like I don't think that was as common then either. It's
Oh
not
yeah,
in like a
definitely.
mainstream like MTV movie, you know?
Yeah, and then there's also, I mean, her friend, girlfriend, Paul's girlfriend, is maybe bisexual, seems to be unclear about her sexuality. And I didn't like that they have her kind of bounce from person to person to person because it
Oh,
just.
I did read something about that
Oh, yeah?
too in the book. So, like, I agree with you that yes. But in the book there's a year in between.
Oh, okay.
So like she breaks up with Tammy and then a year later she starts dating Paul, but
Gotcha.
because of how time worked in the movie, they couldn't change they had to make it like right away,
Okay.
but they were like, "Oh yeah, it would have been better if that was longer."
Yeah, because like so often bisexual characters are just are like indecisive or super slutty or like whatever, and that's like the only
Well,
representations that we see.
I felt sad for that
Oh, me
character. What
too.
was
Yeah.
her name?
I don't know.
She had a name. I don't remember what it was. She wasn't in the movie all that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt sad for her because I feel like all the hopping around that she was doing, like
Yeah, she was just trying to figure
she
it
was
out.
only doing it to like toy with people's emotions, kind
Yeah.
of. And like it's like it seemed to me like she was like really scared to be herself.
Yeah, 'cause she like goes on to a third person at the end of the movie too,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Some other dude. But so yeah, that made me just like feel sad for her and sad that she was like hurting people in the
Yeah.
wake of that.
Do you have anything else to say about Election?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Watch it. It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's on Hulu. I didn't have to pay for it.
Oh shit. I don't know if
That
I
was
did or
cool.
not. Yeah. I watched it on Amazon. I might have rented it. I need to do a better job of like checking where things are before I do it at the last second. So Jordan, if people want to find you,
Wait, wait.
what?
Before we do our plugs, we're gonna plug some other Cage Club stuff going on right now. You can vote on the Chrome Teeth Awards, which is over at Watch the Throne. They have watched 46 Charlize Theron movies. Their run is over until she makes something new. So they are wrapping it up with some awards. So you can listen to their episode to hear all the nominations, and then you can go to cageclub.me to vote on all the things, Charlize. I kind of think Fury Road's gonna win all the good ones. But
Yeah, probably.
I was on a Tully episode that had a really great quote, and I think they put that in as one of the best Charlize lines. So go check that out. Kara, you got stuff to plug?
Oh yeah, I will be on the upcoming run of Cinemakers. But you can find me on all of the wonderful Cage Club podcasts at cageclub.me/Kara. Or find me on Instagram at Bimpse, BIMPSE, or Twitter, or like whatever. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. You can find me on Instagram at JordoPC. And that's it.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Bye.
Bye.